This is Radio Superior 1957. Production of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s.
Come, let's stroll across the floor.
This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Now turn around.
Hey, you guys, elves, cats, and kittens. Tim Michaels here, rocking your world. It's a rockin' Wednesday night, October 9th, 1957. Denny Anderson has the 6 o'clock news, the fastest man in sports. Bill Kirby has the absolute latest on the Braves-Yanks World Series. And everybody and his brother is here to talk about the new beep era, Sputnik.
And there will be no arguing.
Argue? We don't argue. We discuss.
Oh, I suppose arguing is wrong now, too.
It's simply debating.
It's a deliberation between two or more people pondering the issues of the day.
Did you just say that?
That was kind of weird, wasn't it?
I think we could all agree on that. Rudolph's Furniture is footing the bill for Denny's News. They're having an open stock living room sale at prices to fit your budget. Get a new 16-piece living room set, the whole shebang, for just $469 or $5 a week at Rudolph's in downtown Superior. Your turn, D.A.
Khrushchev says he will agree to world satellite control, and Ike says there's nothing to fear from the Red Moon. We begin our world report from Washington.
This is Jack Bell in the nation's capital. President Eisenhower says the United States could have launched a satellite before now, but to have done so would have hurt military progress in the long-range missile field. Eisenhower announced today that the United States plans to launch test satellites in December. The president says that, so far as U.S. security is concerned, he has not one iota of apprehension regarding the Soviet Union's successful launching of a baby moon last Friday. Eisenhower was asked whether he saw any possibility of weapons being fired from satellites as outer space launching platforms. He replied, "Not at this time." Nearly all of Eisenhower's 30-minute session with newsmen was devoted to the satellite situation, both Russia's successful launching and the status of this country's Project Vanguard rocket program. Eisenhower shed no light, however, as to just when the United States expects to have intercontinental missiles ready for use. As for a statement by Republican Senator John Butler of Maryland that the Navy could launch a satellite at any time, Mr. Eisenhower says Butler must have more information on that than he does. In Washington, this is Jack Bell.
Hi, Colin.
This is Stan Turner in Bonn, West Germany. Nikita Khrushchev says the Soviet government will agree to international control of Earth's satellites and missiles as part of a general Soviet-U.S. agreement to coexist peacefully. In an interview in Moscow yesterday with New York Times Washington bureau chief James Reston, who is visiting the Soviet capital, Khrushchev says such an agreement would remove any problem of controlling any scientific devices. Reston reported, and we quote, "The Soviet Communist Party leader gave no indication, however, that the Moscow regime was prepared to modify the political or disarmament proposals previously rejected by the United States. On the contrary, he was sharply critical of the United States policy in the Middle East and Germany. He charged that Secretary of State Dulles was trying to drive Turkey into a war with Syria and asserted that Chancellor Konrad Adenauer was following a Hitlerite policy in West Germany. Meanwhile, Soviet newspaper Trude hinted today Russia will launch a second satellite better than the existing one on November 7th, that's the 40th anniversary of the communist regime. Quoting the newspaper, "And soon flights will be possible to the moon, Mars, and Venus." Two visiting British members of parliament quoted Communist Party chief Khrushchev as saying, quote, "We have even more things up our sleeves." They say Khrushchev told them the missile is, quote, "only one of the many things we are doing. Our intercontinental ballistic rocket shows that it is no good sending humanly controlled machines against missiles. The age of the bomber is over." In Bonn, this is Stan Turner, Associated Press.
This is Drew Pearson with the Washington merry-go-round. The brass hats aren't going to admit it, but the United States probably would have beat Soviet Russia in launching the Earth satellite if it hadn't been for a military hassle inside the Pentagon.
Added to this inter-service row are a curtailed budget plus the fact that McCarthy-type investigations discourage scientists from working for the government. It was announced at the White House that we are in no race with Russia. This is just not true. We are in a desperate race. Both the Defense Department and the White House fully appreciate the tremendous psychological advantage of getting a satellite into the air first, and we had set our target date as early as last July. Here is the backstage Pentagon hassle which helped us to lose out to Russia. The reason for switching the satellite from the Army at Redstone to the Navy was the feeling that the Army leaned too heavily on German scientists. Here's what's been happening to the Navy's Project Vanguard. $110 million has already been spent and just two tests made. One difficulty is that half a dozen government agencies are all in on Project Vanguard. It is so bogged down in red tape that naval research people have recently been conferring privately with Dr. Werner von Braun, the German expert at Redstone Arsenal. The United States has lost this round, so scientists are now determined to beat the Russians on at least one thing: reaching the moon. One scientist remarked, "We could at least put a mark on the moon by which the world would know that Kilroy got there first." With a Washington merry-go-round, this is Drew Pearson.
This is New York, Alton Blakesley reporting. A strange new moon stamped Made in Russia is racing around the world over the heads of startled, puzzled people. The Russians calmly say they'll give this baby moon a brother very soon. The hint of bigger surprises to come. They even talk of landing on the real moon in a few years. For one thing, it means mankind has entered the space age of his destiny. Something created by human hands has started exploring mysteries and secrets of space. It's the first step toward human travel in space. To many Americans, at least, the bombshell news brings dismay, criticism, and some chilling doubts. Exploring space is a prime goal, and artificial moons packed with instruments to act as man's eyes, ears, and hands and skin can really tell us what space is like. Russia says very little officially, until the stunning news last Friday that a moon weighing 184 pounds was speeding around the Earth at 500 miles height every hour and a half. Russia undoubtedly has an excellent core of scientists. From the start, she wedded her moon effort to her military rocket program. A big help was using the booster stage of her recently announced rocket, which Russia says could deliver an H-bomb anywhere in the world. One Soviet expert says Sputnik contains only batteries and the radio voice equipment to track it. But another says it is also counting the cosmic dust or meteorites it whams into in space. It could be radioing that knowledge back in code. Russia has another moon ready to go in the near future, and Moscow says future moons will be bigger and heavier. All this has many people, Americans especially, wondering. In New York, this is Alton Blakesley.
The Navy credited Russia today with another first: possession of operating intermediate-range ballistic missiles capable of placing nuclear warheads on virtually every fixed Allied base in Western Europe. The disclosure was made by Captain H.L. Miller of the Office of the Chief of Naval Operations. He said he knows Soviet possession of this missile seriously prejudices our tenure of any base within 1,500 miles of Soviet launching sites. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Tim Michaels has this message from Rudolph's Furniture Store.
If you're looking for new styles, greater selections, bigger savings, easy terms, we have got it for you at Rudolph's in Superior. It's a beautiful new 16-piece DeVille Group sofa set. That's right, you can save $119. It's $469 or $5 a week. Use this beautiful, dramatic three-piece sofa as a room divider or in a space-saving corner arrangement. Full-coil spring construction, seats cushioned with rubberized hair for extra comfort, deeply tufted, sculpted culture backs, rich tweed, turquoise, black, or brown beige. It's absolutely gorgeous, and what a price. $469 for this beautiful set. Remember, you can save big and save now at Rudolph's. They're located at 1501 Tower Avenue in Superior. Dennis?
The Wisconsin County Boards Association is petitioning Congress to include a north-south route connecting Milwaukee and Upper Michigan and an east-west route from the Mackinac Bridge to Superior in the new interstate system. The vote came at its annual meeting in Superior. It states that potential developments from the completion of the Mackinac Bridge and the St. Lawrence Waterway will create an urgent need for modern highways here. In view of the launching of the Earth satellite, the Superior Public Library has added Men into Space by Herman Oberth. That's according to librarian Miss Marjorie Flynn. The book tells of new projects for space travel. Now we have this commentary from Jim Dan Hill, president of Wisconsin State College Superior. Good evening, Colonel.
That is, Anderson. This tiny moon made in Soviet land has swished much wind from America's billowing science sails. American reporter Lloyd Berkner has been covering this story for the International Geophysical Year Group. He just happened to be sipping cocktails at the Russian embassy in Washington the evening the Reds sprung the big surprise. With all the phony enthusiasm with which a defeated tennis finalist jumps the net and raspingly commends his victor with a knuckle-crushing handshake, Berkner appears to have rendered the quote-worthy congratulations the Russian diplomats had in mind when they first planned their quiet little party. Russian beams appropriately and no doubt called for another round of vodka martinis. Insofar as the tiny moon itself is concerned, the answer is it is no direct threat to American security. America will soon have one and perhaps a better one, and it will not be a direct threat to Russia. The value of these expensive, tiny artificial satellites is their function as research instruments in outer space through which may travel the transoceanic warhead-bearing missiles of the future. The nation that first solves the now imponderables of that wide blue yonder may produce the first truly accurate missile. Sipping embassy vodka is a poor way to look to the future. As for Dr. Berkner et al., what the hell, we can only suggest a quiet, studious nook back in the laboratory. That is where the answers will be found. Good night, Anderson.
Anytime, sir. Superior State College President Colonel Jim Dan Hill. And that's the 6 o'clock news. Good night, everybody, and be kind.
Dennis Anderson, or just Anderson. Let's check the Sputnik weather for this Wednesday, October 9th, 1957. Going to be clear. A freeze warning is up with a low at 29 little tiny degrees. Sunny tomorrow with a high of 47. It's fall, kids. Let's warm things up with Larry Williams' crazy hit. Here's Boney Maroney on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
I got a girl named Boney Maroney. Or macaroni. All I see her rock and roll with her blue jeans on. Not very fast, just skin and bone. But I love her, she loves me. Oh, how happy now we can be, making love underneath the apple tree. Well, I told her mama and her papa too.
from Specialty Records, here's Larry Williams and Boney Maroney on Kickin' KUWS.
Now, Douglas County Civil Defense Siren District 2 Assistant Horn Division Director, Joseph Roffoli.
I like that Colonel Dung Ding Hill. Weird name, though, but colonels are always right. Speaking of weird names, Anderson, what's your last name?
Anderson.
Your name's Anderson Anderson.
Well, that's my name, as if you'd get it right anyway.
So, what dark scene are you laying on us tonight there, Daddy-O?
I hate beatnik talk, and it's dark every night. I'm here to preserve calm. All this yammering about Red Moon has unnerved certain elements of our population. Do not be frightened. Showing fear means the Ruskies have already won the battle. Spitnik is not a danger. Do not worry about complete obliteration with no warnings from outer space. This probably won't happen anytime soon. Do not worry that the Sputnik beeps are a coded signal of impending doom to the world's democracies.
Or that the beeping is actually a radio signal from Mars about an impending attack by Martians.
And don't worry that Martians will take over the bodies of Republicans and turn them into Democrats.
Well, that happened, you know. That's why Roosevelt beat Hoover in 32.
Well, thanks for laying on those nuggets to keep us cool, but I've got a better prescription. It's Honky Tonk Part 2. Here's Bill Doggett on the Tim Michaels Dance Party. Yowza! Boy, if they had some violins in there, we'd have sax and violins. On Columbia Records, the swinging sound of Bill Doggett and his combo with Honky Tonk Part 2 on Kickin' KUWS. If that doesn't calm you down, this sure won't. The fastest man in sports, Wild Bill Kirby, is here to rock our boats. No sweat about Sputnik?
Here's the thing. What good does worrying do? Sputnik's a great achievement. We'll put those things up there soon. Then we'll be able to get more sports on TV.
He's right. They'll be able to bounce signals off these orbiting satellites into our living room someday.
But the thing is, a bazillion miles above us, traveling at a gazillion miles an hour.
I think you need a bunch of them up there.
In Tim's beatnik lingo, probably a gazillion.
Mind bending, baby. Go, Wild Bill!
Faster than a speeding Sputnik, Timmy. The New York Yankees tied the World Series at 3 victories apiece today by defeating the Milwaukee Braves 3-2 in a battle of home runs. The 7th and deciding game will be tomorrow in New York. More than 61,000 saw the Bronx Bombers back up the four-hit pitching of Bob Turley with a record long-range hitting display. Homers by Yogi Berra with one on base in the 3rd and a Hank Bauer solo in the 7th accounted for all of the Yankee scores. Bauer's deciding wallop came just after Hank Aaron tied the score 2-2 in the top of the 7th with his 3rd home run of the series. Earlier, Frank Torrey belted a long ball for Milwaukee's first run. The Yanks' Turley gave up only 2 walks and struck out 8. Braves starting pitcher Bob Buell was taken out after the Bombers went ahead in the 3rd. Ernie Johnson's relief pitching stopped the Yanks until the 7th. Don McMahon pitched the last inning. Barron nicked him for a double and reached 3rd on Gil McDougall's sacrifice. But Milwaukee series star Wes Covington threw him out at the plate after taking a fly in the left field corner. Berra and Bauer both figured in World Series records by today's performances. Berra appeared in his 53rd World Series game, breaking the record of 52 made by another Yank, Phil Rizzuto. His homer was his 10th in World Series play, putting him in a tie with Lou Gehrig and Duke Snyder for second place among all-time series home run hitters. Casey Stengel says, "Larson's my pitcher for the 7th game." Casey referred to Don Larson, who pitched a perfect game in the series against Brooklyn last year. Stengel, by the way, is all praise for Milwaukee pitchers Lou Burdett and Warren Spahn. Rasped the professor, "The Braves pitcher is better than any I saw in the past series with the Dodgers. Burdett knows how to pitch to left-handers, and Spahn knows how to pitch to right-handers." Lou Burdett will pitch for the Braves tomorrow, going for his 3rd victory in the series. And in L.A., a shoeshine boy broke into a jig. The mayor put on a baseball cap and members of the city council cheered. But the average Los Angeles baseball fan took the news that the Brooklyn Dodgers were moving to L.A. with a quiet smile and a sigh of relief. After all, it had been a long 6-month haul. "Hurrah, hurrah, hurrah, they're our bums now," cheered the Mirror News after Brooklyn President Walter O'Malley's announcement yesterday. There were words of caution, too. Examiner columnist Melvin Derslag warned Dodger manager Walt Alston, "We've never been fond of losers out here. Don't let this frighten you, but it's a hard fact that in the 11 years that the Los Angeles Rams have lived here, they've had 6 coaches. And in news here at home, the Superior State Yellow Jackets are in high spirits as they go for their first win of the season at La Crosse Saturday. Coach Americo Martorelli has elevated former Central Star quarterback Ron Schultz into the starting 11 for SSC. This is Wild Bill Kirby. Play hard, fast, and fair.
Wow, you've got the fastest tongue in the West there, Wild Bill. You are the coolest, man. Here's a brother and sister KUWS twin spin. Kicking it off at the Cordettes and Mr. Sandman on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream.
Bum, 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 bum.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Bum, 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 bum.
Give him 2 lips like roses and clover.
Bum, 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 bum.
Then tell him that his lonesome nights are over. Sandman, I'm so alone.
Bum, 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 bum.
Don't have nobody to call my own.
Bum, 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 bum.
Please turn on your magic beam. Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Make him the cutest that I've ever seen. Give him the word that I'm not a rover. Then tell him that his lonesome nights are over. Sandman, I'm so alone. Don't have nobody to call my own. Please turn on your magic beam. Oh, Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream.
Bum, 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 bum.
Sandman.
Yes?
Bring us a dream. Give him a pair of eyes with a come-hither gleam. Give him a lonely heart like Pagliacci. And lots of wavy hair like Liberace. Mr. Sandman, someone to hold.
Someone to hold.
Would be so peachy before we're too old. So please turn on your magic beam.
This is a K KUWS Twin Spin.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Do, 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 shaboom.
Life could be a dream. If I could take you up in paradise up above. If you would tell me I'm the only one that you love. Life could be a dream. Sweetheart, hello, hello again. Shaboom, and open with me again, boom. Ding dong, ding dong, shalang, lang, lang. Oh, 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 life could be a dream. If only all my precious plans would come true. If you would let me spend my whole life loving you. Life could be a dream. Sweetheart,
every time I look at you, something is all I want. If you do what I want you to, maybe we'd be so fine.
Oh, life could be a dream. Shaboom, if I could take you up in paradise up above. Shaboom, and tell me, darling, I'm the only one that you love. Life could be a dream. Sweetheart, hello, hello again. Shaboom, if I could take you up in paradise up above. Shaboom, and tell me, darling, I'm the only one that you love. Life could be a dream. Sweetheart, hello, hello again. Shaboom, and hope we meet again. Boom, boom, boom. Ding dong, ding dong. Shalang, la, lang, la, lang, la, lang, la, oh, oh, bip. Shabib, oh, bip, oh, life could be a dream. Life could be a dream.
A KUWS brother and sister twin spin with Shaboom by the Chords and the Chordettes with Mr. Sandman on Kickin' KUWS. Get it? Chords? Chordettes?
Yes, very clever.
Yeah, that's only some beatnik egghead.
We're in the beatnik era now, Colonel.
Here we were in the middle of the beat generation and suddenly, just like that, we're in the beep era. It's almost more than a mortal man can bear.
Maybe you didn't know we've been beat. Now, that doesn't mean defeated or all tucked out, as well it might. It means we're hep, that we have the raw nerve exposed.
Yeah, maybe we feel the beat like Tom Toms or the Dell Vikings, and come go with me on the Tim Michaels Beep Show.
Peep Show?
Hey, we haven't finished our discussion on beat and beep.
We'll pick it up without missing a beat.
Yes, I need you, please say never. never give me a
chop, chop. Now, love me, darling, come and go with me.
The Dell Vikings in this year's Come Go With Me, a kickin' KUWS. Now let the chops continue quibbling. Last was Denny and the exposed nerve over his Sputnik. It's Engineer Joe's turn.
This may surprise those of us who can feel beat enough without anybody's help as we doze homeward on the 545 bus, but the beat generation has been getting a good deal of play lately in the highbrow publications. And the word from the bird has been seeping down to the rest of us.
Usually you can't track down the source of an idea like this, but a San Francisco writer named Jack Kerouac coined the term Beat Generation. He's the author of the bestseller On the Road.
He says the Beat Generation includes anyone from 15 to 55 who digs everything, man.
So beat means beatitude, not beat up?
You feel it in the beats. I mean, real cool, man. Cloud Nine, the Beat Generation, loves everything, man.
It'd be better if it meant beat up. A lot less nauseating. And nobody loves everything.
This is us. Blissful we may be on occasion when our bunions aren't bothering us, for instance, but blessed, the generation which invented the H-bomb?
But it's no use splitting long hairs. Generations come and go. So far, anyway, we've gone a long way toward making the present generation the last one. It seems quite possible a new generation started when that Soviet moonlet began circling the globe, uttering its unearthly beep, beep, beep.
And so, in a moment, we progressed from beat to beep.
Hey, Wild Bill, feel free to share, man.
Are we tuned into outer space? Has the man with both feet on the ground been replaced with a fellow whose head is in the stars? Has the rock and roll beat given way to the monotonous beep, beep, beep of a future suddenly arrived? It may be that most of us don't feel a bit different, just a mite more tired than yesterday, perhaps a little less agile in hopping the 545 bus.
Yeah, me and the Doughboys and Devil Dogs at WW1 survived the lost generation. They ruined the Left Bank of Paris. Those long-haired writers, well, they had no moral compass. Fact is, we didn't even miss them. Now we've been riding out the beatniks without any particular feeling except to wish somebody would turn that damn jukebox off.
But, my dear Colonel, the beep generation may soar to the moon or even rocket to the stars. It may confound our imagination and geography and play duckpins with our philosophy. I believe it'll be the good guy values that went out, led by scientists, engineers, and people of hope.
But has it changed us so far?
It's taught us a new sound, a rather uninspiring beep, and it's given some of us a crick in the neck from looking upward trying to spot the what's-us.
But we still have to catch the 545, go home to the missus, and pray there won't be a World War III.
And so ends the philosophical quibbling of the generations of the Doughboys. The last generation that we're still looking for, World War II, beatniks, and beepniks.
I'm spent.
Oof, weighty stuff for us.
Yeah, my head hurts. Hey, I got it. How about those braids?
That's the spirit, Colonel. Escapism works every time. Hey, time to cut out cats and kittens, but we'll be back same time, same dog pound, the good Lord willing. And the beeps don't beat the nicks.
So much for weighty and philosophical remarks.
For Denny Anderson, Wild Bill, Engineer Joe, and Colonel Raffley, this is Tim Michaels rocking your world.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1957, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Your players are Tom Martinson, Don Hansen, Bruce McDonald, and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1957 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow. Thanks for listening.
Oh, my, my.
This is us. Blissful we may be on occasion, but our bunions aren't... Hello. Yeah, that's all.
There's a lot of bees involved.
Oh, I can think of a few more.
Yeah. I give it the Cronkite touch. Blessed be us with the bunions. The bunions bouncing in the breeze.
Bountiful, beautiful budget.
H-bomb bursting in the air.
That's the Willie. Sound bombastic. Okay.